And then this diagram shows what happens to the frequencies that are emitted. So at the top, what you see is a low current density. So the laser is just turned on a little bit. And when you don't put a lot of current into it, then you don't get many photons out. And there's not enough photon intensity in the optical cavity to start this stimulated emission. And it works basically like a light emitting diode. So you turn a laser on just a little bit, and it sends out light, sends out some weak light, but the photons just travel in all directions. And when you look at the distribution of wavelengths, you would say the wavelength it emits should be at the band gap, but it's spread around the band gap in a width of about a thermal energy, kBT. And that's because in a light emitting diode, there's the conduction band, and then there's the valence band like this, and the filled states are spread out over a thermal energy kBT, and also the holes are spread out approximately over an energy kBT. So some of the electrons fall into states that are exactly the band gap, and some of them start a little higher and fall into states a little bit lower, and you get a distribution of wavelengths in a light emitting diode around the band gap with a width of kBT. And kBT is 25 millielectron volts, which is much smaller than the band gap, so a green laser still looks green, and they're just close wavelengths. And then you turn the current up, and you inject more electrons in the conduction band, and more holes in the valence band, and it starts to become brighter. And then what you see is that there are certain frequencies which start to dominate. And this is then a combination of spontaneous emission and stimulated emission. So the spontaneous emission looks like this, and these peaks are the cavity modes, which are drawn over here in frequency. There are certain frequencies that are cavity modes in the laser. So typically, a laser is a hundreds or thousands of wavelengths long. So if you have one mirror here and another mirror there, there are lots of wavelengths in between. So there may be 100 wavelengths in between, and then there's another mode with 101 wavelengths in between, and then 102. And those are all modes that can add constructively if they bounce back and forth between the mirrors. There must be an integer number of wavelengths between the mirrors to get to build up this optical mode. So as you turn the laser up, then here you start to see some light come out, and these are the different modes, and they're competing with each other. And then you have more current and put more electrons up into the conduction band and more holes in the valence band. And at one point, one of the modes takes over, and it almost all of the photons then have the same frequency of the mode. So the band gap determines approximately what the wavelength is, and then the optical cavity determines more precisely which wavelength will be sent out by a laser. And you can see here that the nearby modes are also a little bit populated, meaning a laser doesn't send out just exactly one wavelength, but it might send out a little bit of the nearby modes, a little bit longer wavelength, and a little bit shorter wavelength than the dominant one. But here, you get a much sharper frequency than you would expect for something at room temperature. So normally you would expect all the energies are spread out by kBT, and the electrons really are still spread out by kBT, but the stimulated emission causes them to fall from the upper states to the lower states all with the same energy, and they give out the same frequency.